back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Every time I speak your name,
that's fine. We are about 1 hour away from the official announcement here at the Palladium that the MLS will be coming to St. Louis. Frank and Martin here till 12. We're joined by Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, a man who has been wanting this moment for a long time. In fact, you go back to the attorney on the east side in Collinsville who tried to make
Jeff
this
Cooper.
Happen. Yeah.
Jeff Cooper. I remember the day vividly when Jim Woodcock from Fleischmann Hillard, the sports PR icon in our town, said, Jeff Cooper wants to meet you. He doesn't think he can accomplish this without you. I said, whoa. Hold on. Let's back it up here a little bit. But then I spoke with Jeff, listened to his vision over in Collinsville. Don and Garber did indeed come in town to hear that vision, to look, to see. Just didn't work out.
What would that have cost? And then what is this thing ending up costing?
Nowhere remotely close. This will be $200 million for the expansion fee, conservatively estimating $250 million to build the stadium, and then countless startup costs. And maybe at the top of that list is a real competent president slash GM of pedigree who knows the sport in our country, internationally as well. Designated players, and by designated players, I mean the top international players you can bring in above and beyond the salary cap. You can have three of those. You can thank David Beckham for that. He's the one who brought over that concept. He made it okay for top international players to come to the United States and play in Major League Soccer.
What's a fair question? And we touched on it with you about the viability of the league. I think we all see that honeymoon where it's going to be an event. Everyone in St. Louis, even if you're not on, your kids aren't on Scott Gallagher, you're going to want to go and check it out.
Yes.
But 4, 5, 6 years from now, how does it sustain and how does it thrive?
It continues to sustain and continues to thrive simply because of the background of the sport in our city, as well as what the team is going to continue to do. By that, I mean the team of MLS Far the Loop. I don't know what they're going to be called in the future, but the president, GM, owners, they are going to make sure of the fact that this is a competent team in a league. Now, I don't know if they're going to do what the Chicago Fire did in the 1998 expansion team winning the MLS title, which is next unheard of, but they had, getting back to my prior point, they had top two or three international stars that led the team. They were coached by Michael Bradley. So they had a good feel for the Chicago area, which was huge, and they really bought into what the Chicago Fire was doing. So I think this area will continue to buy into what the team is doing. In particular, if this franchise in some way or another caters to the Bosnian community.
What about, like, in the NHL, when Las Vegas was added, there was that expansion draft where you got to protect a certain amount of players. Do they do that in the MLS?
They do. And that'll probably take place, Frank, in either November or December of 2021. Yes, because this team is stationed to begin in March of 2022.
Huh. How many layers in terms of the front office do they have? I mean, they're going to name a president. They're going to name a GM. Is it like baseball and football where there's all
similar.
These scouts? And
very similar. You'll have scouts. You'll have there'll be a huge front office staff, 100, 150 people, which you have to have for everything imaginable.
So they'll add 100 people?
I would think so.
Marketing,
yeah.
Ticketing.
Everything imaginable, Martin.
Scarf committee,
getting right. out into the community. And it's an immense part of the overall adoption of an MLS team in your community. You have to be active in your community.
And we've seen Chris Zimmerman, the Blues CEO, at some of the previous announcements. Uh-huh. Bill DeWitt has been at some of those. Is it your sense that both the Blues and Cardinals, and Frank and I have kind of debated whether the Cardinals will be not threatened at all, but challenged a little bit by somebody down the road. What's your sense in terms of the other teams excited about this happening?
My sense is that they will be total and complete partners. I think they want this to succeed. There's enough of a base on the Cardinals and certainly enough of a base on the Blues of foreign players. In particular, at the top of that list is Alexander Steen, who is Swedish as day is the long. He knows who Zlatan Ibrahimovic is. He knows what the sport of soccer means to Sweden and around the world, especially if a country like Sweden gets in a World Cup. And furthermore, what it can mean to the community in which he's already playing his professional sport.
What about a television package? Now, granted, they have the ESPN national package,
right.
But would you anticipate those games are not on ESPN and some station here in town picking up, you know, 20 games.
I think for sure that will happen. I think almost every team to a team in this league has a local television package. Yes.
And would you like to be a part of it?
Of course. Certainly.
Who else could do it?
That's how I got my start doing this.
We got the duo right here. We got Jimmy Huer and Bill McDermott. We're ready, okay? Let's make our own announcement today.
Malcolm on the sidelines?
Yeah, Jimmy Huer and I do the St. Louis FC games, the home games in particular. It's Jim's fault that the team hasn't been winning at home. It's certainly not mine.
Exactly.
Explain to people how the St. Louis FC will continue on and how that will work, and just even the way their season kind of plays out here over the summer, which would overlap.
Yeah, exactly.
How would they coexist?
They will indeed coexist, Mark, because it's overall that part of that overall soccer pyramid, with the MLS team being at the top, USL Championship being right next to that, adjacent to that, the academy system, your select teams, and always that was the problem in St. Louis soccer from the top down to the bottom. There was never a prime mover for the sport once Denny Long was absent from the overall picture. But now the Carolyn Kendall Betts and the Taylor family and Jim Cavanaugh and the Cavanaugh family have come on board. This happened bang, bang. This started just October 9th of last year when there was a press announcement of this nature to announce the facts that the two families had gotten together to pursue a franchise in Major League Soccer.
So you'd go to an FC game, and then the next night you might go to the MLS.
Positively.
In theory, there's going to be some serious overlap. Go to both.
There will positively be
and
overlap.
And they would play. FC would play in that big stadium, too.
Possibly, Martin. That's not definite
okay.
yet. That's not definite yet by any means. Some teams do. The Swope Park Rangers play where Sporting KC plays in Major League Soccer. That's not definite yet by any means. There's so many things that have to transpire here before the team starts playing in spring of 2022.
MLS for the Lou and MLS have been like the CIA in terms of leaking information here.
And they've been very good at it. You're right.
They were outstanding. Ben Fred got the little nugget, and that's about all we've got.
Exactly.
So if you had to guess, I mean, we're not going to hear about a nickname for the team or a name for the team.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I hear that we may not get stadium sponsorship or jersey sponsorship. Could there be anything else besides just the celebration that it's here today?
I think just what you mentioned. I think that's all that's going to take place today. The final concrete announcement that St. Louis is indeed team number 28. Unless, from out of nowhere, similar to the MLS announcement on April of this year when they announced that the league is going to 30 teams. That captured everyone, caught everyone by total surprise because everyone is banking on the fact that it's either going to be 28, 29, certainly not 30, and certainly not the fact that they were going to mention that in one fell swoop.
And I don't blame the MLS for the Lou in saying, this is enough today. We'll get you a team name. We'll tell you about this is kind of, I think they didn't want to overshadow the elephant in the room is we got a team. I mean, isn't that the story?
That is positively the story. If there's going to be a professional soccer league in the United States, Martin, Frank, it's only obvious. It's only suitable that the city that is the birthplace of the sport in our country play a part. Now, I'm being terribly jingoistic towards the city of St. Louis, but just look at the facts. Look at the numbers. Look how generation after generation after generation continue to capitalize on what the prior generation had done.
All right. I think we got enough here, Bill.
Did you sleep last night, Bill? I said on television, Bill McDermott will not sleep tonight.
No.
Maybe a couple of Obie Clark's beverages and you're out cold.
One reason that I did not sleep fully is that we have a two-month-old grandson at home. Our daughter, Colleen, went back to work, so consequently, William's spending some time with us. And I don't know if you know it or not, a two-month-old baby does not sleep through the night.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
It begs the question, who fidgets more, Frank or the two-month-old?
Oh, clearly, Frank.
Thank you. That is the correct answer.
No question.
That is Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott. Bill, congratulations to you. This is a special day for everybody in St. Louis, but particularly a gentleman like you who has had soccer in his blood for his entire life. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Martin. Bye, Jim.
You got it.
All right, let's switch topics and welcome to the conversation Mike Claiborne. Mike, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, but you guys messed up with McDermott. It's not Mr. Soccer. He is Sir Soccer.
Sir Soccer. I like that title.
Yeah.
I was afraid. Ben, I thought maybe Ben Fred had taken over as Sir Soccer, but you're right. We got to get that right.
No, you got. I mean, he's been knighted in everything. So, no, he is He is the face of soccer in St. Louis.
Mike, it is going to be hard to believe that on a spring weekend Sunday, we could have the Blues, Cardinals, MLS, maybe XFL, who knows, maybe even a NASCAR event. It's going to be unbelievable in this city very shortly.
Yeah, it's good. I'm happy for MLS. And you know what? I don't know if you guys touched on it. I've been a little tied up. You know, a guy who deserves a lot of credit, you know, I mean, obviously Andy Taylor and Jim Cavanaugh and that group did an outstanding job. But one of our colleagues in Dan McLaughlin, who took this thing on and really pumped it and talked about it and was very engaged in it and really informed a lot of us. Because let's face it, between the three of us, when was the last time we really thought and talked a great deal about soccer? Okay, that's my point.
So well, Martin talked about his son retiring.
Yeah, my son quit the game at age 7, and we had a little dispute. I did invite you guys over for that MLS watch party, but I don't recall any RSVPs from you guys.
Mine was lost in the mail like it always is. But for what he was able to do, you know, I really tipped my cap to him, man, because a lot of guys sat on the fence and kind of rolled their eyes. And I don't know. I don't even think Dan's a huge soccer fan. I don't think he was part of his background plan growing up. But, you know, his civic involvement is something that shouldn't be overlooked, and I really commend him for stepping up in the manner that he did.
How about last night, if you were Mike Schilt, would you have done the same thing?
Yeah. The no-hitter as we know it might be a thing of the past because these guys throw so many pitches early. And when you think about the fact that they're all conditioned to go 100 instead of just pitching, I don't think they had a choice. Along with this, you're going to need Dakota Hudson down the stretch, okay? And you know what? While no-hitters are really nice to accomplish, you're going to need every bullet he's got. And when you're in the seventh inning, he's already at 107 pitches. You can't guarantee that he's going to have this thing done in 115 or 120. And, you know, guys, with recovery time and the fact we don't have a lot of days off down the stretch, it was the right thing to do.
And if you're Hudson, you should be pissed. That the player should want to stay out there, and the manager should be the one who says, you don't get to stay. I think it played out the way it should. I'd be disappointed if Hudson wasn't disappointed.
No, I agree with you. I mean, he's there to pitch. And, you know, sometimes one of my issues with baseball more than the other sports, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they have personalized training, they've got all these methods to make them a fine-tuned athlete, but they get tired all of a sudden. They don't have the endurance, and I don't understand that. I think it's more mental than it is physical because if you listen to them and you hear all the things that they go through in order to be prepared to play, you think they could play till Wednesday afternoon. But that's not the case. It's more mental, and I think once you get a guy who says, screw the numbers, I feel like I can still pitch, then you put your arm around that guy and you ride him as long as you can.
Mike, Harrison Bader returning, Randy Arozarena down. In no market is the lineup more second-guessed and scrutinized than in St. Louis. And now it's really going to get interesting because Bader has hit so well. First of all, do you believe Bader is going to be in the lineup tonight?
I don't know. I guess so. You didn't bring him up here to watch games. So, you know, if he's swinging the bat well, I mean, listen, they're doing everything to make sure he has this job. And they need to see what they have as far as their organization is concerned because now we have a glut of center fielders between Bader and Lane Thomas and Arozarena, you know, and you've got Fowler as well. So you got four center fielders. You need to figure out who can play because you won't have four center fielders going into spring training next year, that's for sure.
And in terms of Arozarena, did we learn much? I mean, we didn't see him a whole lot.
No.
I don't feel like we learned much about him.
No, I would agree with you. I think he showed flashes on why he was having a good minor league season. We saw enough of him.
Hey, Mike, in terms of the Brewers, I'm not saying they're done, but that looks like a team that's lost its way a little bit.
Well, you know, they threw a guy last night that gave him a chance. Now, they didn't swing the bat well, but I feel like their lineup. Now, they're a little suspect in a couple of areas. Second base, that guy can swing the bat, but he's not a good defender. Their center fielder has been out with an oblique, so we don't really know how long he's going to be out with respect to being a contributor. And I thought last year He was a guy that should have been in the MVP discussion. Ryan Braun didn't play last night. So, I mean, their team is kind of like the Cardinals trying to figure out what's a good lineup. But I think the biggest difference is I don't know if their pitching is good enough, especially when you get to their bullpen in the early portion of their bullpen.
Mike Claiborne joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. Mike, we were talking about this earlier today. We had so much promise for the Matt Morris-Alan Bennis combo coming up. Unfortunately, only one of them really got to have a really nice long career. This duo of Flaherty and Hudson, I mean, how special can this be for years to come?
Well, I would preface this by asking you this. Were you this excited about Luke Weaver and Alex Reyes 2 years ago in the same manner? I mean, because they were the hot phenom in the Cardinal organization then. So, you know, I mean, they looked the part. They're big, strong guys. They've been very highly decorated in their minor league career and before that in high school or college. But, I mean, you know what? It comes with the flow, man. I'm at the point where I don't put much stock in the guys and their potential until it's over, because I think you can get fooled quickly because of injury, because of their inability to take it to the next level for whatever reason. So I just watch them play for now, and I don't worry about what they do 3 and 5 years from now, because this game changes too much. Because I guarantee you, Frank, within 2 years we're going to be talking about two other can't-miss guys.
So I
think that I've learned my lesson. And I've also learned my lesson about spring training and pitching in spring training, where if you listen to some people, they'll tell you, well, boy, I don't know how we're going to divvy up this Cy Young Award between all these guys we got on the staff. And then the next thing you know, you're mad because you didn't make a deal to get more pitching.
Yeah, I remember in spring training, they got 11 starters, and now we have four.
Yeah.
Where are we going to play everybody? Claves, what do you think of the Colton Wong debate? You know, Wong's numbers have been great, and Mike Shildt said basically – he's comfortable there. I'm comfortable with him there. And I think it's a daily battle of, all right, do I mess with the lineup too much? Who goes up higher? A lot of us have said, well, maybe Wong should be higher in the lineup. Do you think Wong cares? Do you think he feels like he's deserved to be bumped up?
No. You know what, Martin? That's a great question. And I think you have to have some stability in your lineup somewhere. Okay, you got Goldschmidt. That's a pretty stable situation. You know what you're getting from him. But that eighth spot in the lineup for Colton Wong, he's just flourished so well. That play he made last night beating out that one ball, that was the difference in the game. You know, his hustle down the line got him out of the double play situation, and then he comes around to eventually score. That was the difference in the game as far as I was concerned, and I think he's having a heck of a year. We talk about his defense, but, man, you know what? He's going the other way with pitches. If there's a better bunter in the National League, I'd like to meet him. He's doing all the little things that you would hope that a guy in his capacity could do, especially in the A spot. And he can steal a base for you.
Mike, in rationalizing playing Matt Carpenter, who did have a good day at the office yesterday, Mike Shildt said this before the game, and I want to get your reaction. He's starting to set career records for this organization that can't be ignored. But we have guys playing well, and production is important, and we're not going to turn a blind eye to that either. Your take?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what record he's coming up on. he's a career 269 hitter. He scored his 700th run last night in the Cardinal uniform. But I just don't see it with regard to greatness. I think he's been a serviceable player. He's done everything that they've asked him to do, but he's had two bad years in a row. And at some point, you have to make a decision on how far do you go with someone when you have other people who can do the job maybe more consistently. I think it's the toughest decision Mike Shildt has to make every day.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. And his answers yesterday were really long form. And he can give some long answers. But I think as he talked through it, you could almost hear the internal struggle. Because he's a numbers guy. He knows it doesn't add up. But he's also saying, but historically he's been pretty good. You could almost hear him debating it in his own head as he was explaining to folks. And I think most people said the decision is based on the numbers, but I think he feels some loyalty there. And, I don't know if that's a Mozeliak intervening thing, but I think at some point every game matters, even more so late in the year. It may be It's not a hot-button topic. Well, maybe it is. Frank, is it a hot-button topic right now? I guess it is right now.
Oh, I think Matt Carpenter's playing time is one of the hottest-button topics
in sports. All right, so I was going to say, we'll get to DEFCON 10 later, but maybe we're at DEFCON 9.
Well, you know, the other thing you have to take into account here is, you know, Mike Schilt, Martin, you said he's a numbers guy, but he's a numbers guy that still can recognize a baseball player and whether he can play or not. And I think that, you know, that's what he wrestles with, knowing that he's got to have more out of that spot in the order and certainly at third base. And he's just not getting it as much. And he's trying to work around that, hoping that he's going to strike lightning in a bottle. But, man, you know, how often do you get struck by lightning? I mean, didn't we have that last year?
Yeah.
So, I just think it's the toughest thing he does every day. As far as how he puts that lineup together. And I really tip my cap to him being able to be reasonably balanced in how he tries to find creative ways to A, get him some at-bats, but also B, doesn't cost himself. And I'll give you a good example last night when he had the double switch. He put Tommy Edman in at third because Edman is a better defensive player. And then he's also a guy that can switch hit for you in case the Brewers wanted to come at you with someone different as far as pitching was concerned. So I thought that was a pretty good move, and I thought it was an indicator on how limited Matt Carpenter can be for him at that stage of the game.
Yeah, I think Claves, it comes down to, on a nightly basis, if he says, I'm committed to Tommy Edman as an everyday player, which he said in Cincinnati, then I don't think you can be committed to Matt Carpenter as an everyday player. You can't have both as everyday players with the number of outfielders that you're also trying to get playing time for.
Yeah, you know what? That's the other bugaboo, the outfielders. You know, you've got Tyler O'Neill and Jose Martinez that you're going to have to throw in the mix here pretty soon. You got to get another look at a Rosarena after September, don't you?
Yeah. Mike, here's the milestones that Carpenter is honing in on. Three more walks. Matt Carpenter will pass Ken Boyer for ninth on the all-time Cardinals walks list. And with eight more strikeouts, he'll pass Willie McGee for fourth in franchise history. So there you go.
There's balance noted for you.
That's right.
Well, those
Carpenter walks.
Brad Hoffman dusted those off, and I don't think he was being in jest. Those are merely pointed out as facts.
Only Brian could get those that quickly.
Good work.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We will see you at the ballpark tonight. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
All right, fellas, enjoy the day. It's a great day for St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Hey, don't forget, on Friday, Frank, we're going to be over in Illinois. It's Fairview Heights, Moody Park. It's the 31st Midwest Salute to the Arts. It starts Friday evening. It goes all weekend long. Free admission. We've been there the last couple of years. Great event. Moody Park, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Press Box Live Friday with the Slop. I don't think we told them that when we booked the event. 10 until noon. Moody Park all weekend long. Fairview Heights for the 31st Midwest Salute to the Arts. Chime in on the text line. Triad Bank encourages you to take it to the bank. Take it to the text line. Maybe we'll get a winning name out of our soccer fans out there if you text in. Triad Bank started in St. Louis in 2005. Located in Frontenac on Clayton Road, they are one block west of Lindbergh. Real easy to get to from the Highway 40 Lindbergh exit right there up the road on Clayton. It's triadbanking.com on the web. Business owners, take note, St. Louis-based business, which means they can get things done here. Five-star rated bank. Stop by. Ask for Jim Regna, anybody on his team. They'll be happy to help you out with all your banking needs.
For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 855-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show, practices completely eye care in the metro area, from routine eye exams to LASIK. He does the LASIK surgery better than anybody in the St. Louis area. Dr. Michael Jones, tell them I sent you, 855-260-EYES. I also want to thank the good people from Maryville. Lonnie Folks, their outstanding athletic director, they sponsor the phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information. We're broadcasting live from the Palladium. The announcement just about a half hour away. Frank and Martin, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.